miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Thank you for listening today. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and I'm Bridget Tegemeyer, filling in for Dr. Mike Roizen, who will be back next week, not to worry. You can listen to us at www.radiomd.com. You can also get us at iHeartRadio and a number of affiliate stations like in Jacksonville and Tampa, Florida. I know there's a few others throughout the country. Thank you to YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins for their weekly support for the show. So let's get back to the news of the week. This was another one of my favorites about gluten sensitivity and celiac disease, which are two different conditions. Celiac disease is when people are allergic to gluten and is an autoimmune condition, and gluten sensitivity is a population that we don't have as much information or research on, but it's a group of individuals who may benefit from eating gluten-free because they have non-celiac gluten sensitivity. And these types of people might present with abdominal pain, bloating, gas, diarrhea, headaches, fatigue, sometimes joint pain, a number of different symptoms. And these people oftentimes test negatively for celiac disease but still benefit from eliminating gluten from their diet. And gluten might not be the only thing that is necessary to eliminate from the diet of those who suffer with non-celiac gluten sensitivity. Actually, in a study from 2011 that was conducted in Australia, they looked at 34 individuals that had irritable bowel syndrome but did not have celiac disease. These people reacted poorly to gluten, but then when they put the subjects on a gluten-free diet for 2 weeks, they found that their symptoms improved, but they were still having episodes of bad, poor gut health. So then they conducted a second part of the study, and they put them on, they assigned the individuals with irritable bowel syndrome to a two-week diet that was low in certain carbohydrates, and this diet is referred to as a FODMAP diet. It specifically stands for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. So these are all sugars that draw water into the intestinal tract, and they are poorly digested and absorbed by some individuals and can cause gas and abdominal distress. So these are foods that you would eliminate. That examples are fructose, which then accounts for a lot of or very specific fruits and vegetables, lactose, which is the sugar that's found in milk and from cows, goats, and sheep, and then you'll also find it in cheeses, any dairy products really. The fructans you also eliminate. Fructans are a soluble fiber that are found in foods like bananas and onions. And then galactans are another food group that you would, or another sugar that you would not include in your diet. That includes broccoli, soybeans, and then polyols, which are sugar alcohols. So people that have IBS have been found to, their symptoms have improved when they go on a low FODMAP diet. And research is still evolving in this exact field, but we know that there's a number of individuals that are currently suffering from GI bloating and don't know what to do. So for those types of people, before you remove gluten from your diet, it's important to get tested for celiac disease because you need the gluten in your system in order to test positive a lot of times. If the results come back negative, then you can still have, you can still be diagnosed with non-celiac gluten sensitivity, which includes a negative blood test for celiac disease but no sign of damage on an intestinal biopsy. And then you would see symptom improvement when you eliminate gluten from your diet, when you put it back into your diet, which is usually after about 3 weeks we recommend, then you would see a recurrence of the symptoms that you had before. And the fourth characteristic would be that no other explanation for your symptoms is provided. So we see a lot of these cases in functional medicine, individuals whose gut health improves significantly after going on a FODMAP FODMAP diet and trying to figure out what specific food triggers are causing these reactions for them, because everyone's very different and everyone's gut microbiome is very different. So it's important to see a healthcare provider. I know the Cleveland Clinic Wellness Institute, Cleveland Clinic Center for Functional Medicine, Mayo Clinic, they have a lot of experts in the field there. You can seek out professionals at your hospital. The next story is about coffee habits, which appear to be shaped by DNA variations. This is according to a preliminary research study that found that six new genetic variants might dictate the volume and the frequency of a person's daily coffee consumption. So the researchers looked at over 120,000 coffee drinkers of European and African American ancestry, and they identified six different genetic variants that may dictate how much coffee a person drinks. Two of the genetic variants were involved in the metabolism of caffeine. Two other genetic variants play a role in the rewarding effects of caffeine, and then the two others are involved in the interaction of fat and sugars in the bloodstream. So this might be why you either drink a lot of coffee or you don't drink as much coffee, and it can help explain why the same amount of coffee can have different effects in different people, because we know that caffeine is one of those things that people differ very widely on their reaction to. So it's an interesting study. It's very preliminary, but I think that it will be very useful in future studies in looking at coffee consumption. So a little more scary story from this week is for your little ones, for all the parents out there, to be very cautious of where you're leaving your liquid detergent pods. They found it at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, who have treated 10 young children in the past 2 years with eye injuries as a result of encounters with ruptured detergent pods. And the injuries that these 10 children encountered were corneal damage, but they recovered within 1 to 2 weeks after. So it wasn't long term, but it's still scary and important to make sure that specifically the laundry detergent pods that have been associated with an increased number of injuries in young children, including vomiting, difficulty breathing, and even lethargy, that you make sure that they're stored in a safe place where your little ones can't get into them, and maybe even closing the door to your washing machine and dryer so that your kids can't even access them while they're in the washer or dryer. Or I guess the washer, not in the dryer. Okay, so then our next study is on cancer diagnosis and the toll that it can take on mental health. So this was a fascinating study. They looked at 2,100 Germans that had cancer, and they completed face-to-face interviews with these individuals. And they found that 1 out of 3 people who are diagnosed with cancer also end up struggling with a mental health disorder such as anxiety or depression. And they found that in certain cancers, people had a higher risk of having an associated mental disorder. Those cancers were, the individuals had about a 40% rate of having a mental disorder, and those were individuals with breast cancer, head and neck cancer, and malignant melanoma. So the researchers noted that gender might play a role, which is why we might see patients with breast cancer having a higher incidence of mental health disorder because of the threat that comes to the identity of a woman with some of the treatments like the mastectomy that many women have to have with breast cancer. The lowest rates of mental disorder were around 20%, and those were among patients that had pancreatic, prostate, or stomach or esophageal cancers. So it's important for doctors, I'm not a doctor, but the researchers in the study said that it's important for doctors to look for these signs in their patients and encourage them to seek treatment. We'll be back soon with more to come. This is Bridget on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Stay well.
Are you one of the millions of Americans whose thyroid gland isn't functioning the way it's supposed to? Well, now there's hope. Introducing Actolin. Actolin is a dietary supplement that contains 17 ingredients that support thyroid function, your adrenal health, your energy metabolism, and your immune health. Actolin's nutrients were handpicked by the renowned holistic practitioner, Dr. David Brownstein. And now, for a limited time, you can get a risk-free trial of Actolin when you enroll in our convenient Smart Ship program and cover the first low shipping and handling fee of $4.95. That's right. Try Actolin as part of our risk-free trial and just pay $4.95 shipping. Learn more and sign up today at ActolinRadio.com. That's ActolinRadio.com or call 800-500-HEALTH. That's 800-500-4325. And mention promo code Actolin Radio. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Her Radio with Dr. Pamela Peek, MD.
What we have to do now is we have to demand at the highest levels, National Institutes of Health and big funders, that before any study is done, that male and females are both included and that the sex differences are teased out.
And Michelle King Robeson.
Only 37% of clinical trials today are done on women, and that had to be passed by Congress to even get that done.
The Naked Truth about women.
We as physicians are now being asked to look at many of these medications, start at the lowest dose possible in women.
And the FDA said that too, that, you know, just prescribe the lowest dose. But we need to review all drugs for women.
Live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern and always on demand at RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio Talk, and the free TuneIn Radio app. Stay well.